Hallelujah. Now, today I'm going to talk on a topic called loving people you don't like. Sunday service, Holy Spirit has been speaking because I've kicked you guys all out now. You're not here. You're here, but you're not here. The ministry on Sunday is only for testimony, okay, for encouragement, and for equipping. That's it. We don't care that our music is on professional level so much anymore, as long as you're professional out there. We don't care about so much your preaching. Well, you do, because I'm equipping, you know, with the word. But what we're doing is everything is happening outside, Monday through Saturday. Last week, I said something. I said, if you were not a doctor and you were invited to doctor's brain surgeon's convention, okay, you'd probably go first time because it would be interesting to you. I mean, what do those brainiacs think over there? But after sitting there for 2 hours and not understanding many words or concepts or principles, you'd probably never go there again. You would say, you guys go ahead and do that. And here you have around you these different medical doctors sitting there and like, oh my goodness, that's so cool. And they're sharing, you know, they're raising hands. And have you guys knew about this? And have you guys knew about this? And these guys are excited. But I'm sitting there and like, come on, when is this going to be over? Or 2 more hours. Oh, more sessions. You know, you would want to get out of there. Same thing in Christian life. If you're not living a Christian life, if you're not a practicing Christian, from Monday through Saturday, Sunday is boring for you. Amen. So if you're bored and falling asleep in a service, I know you're not living it. So we must start living Monday through Saturday. So when we come Sunday, we have so many testimonies. We got so many shouts in the house. And that's it, guys. This is not my major thing here right now. My major thing is over there. Your major thing is over there. Remember, God kicked you out. You're not going to be a star, you know, here. God wants to make you a star over there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today, just three things. Sunday service is for encouragement, testimony. That's where we praise God or praise. And then number three, equipping or edification, meaning we build you up, we prepare you. It's like a doctor's convention. We help you out so you can go. It's like a realtor's convention. We tell you new tricks. Amen? It's like a truck driver's convention. All right? We tell you the coolest trucks and the best gas mileage. It's like a cleaning service convention. It's like a tree service convention. It's like a college convention. It's like a sports people convention. It's like a music convention. So we're going to show you some tricks and we're going to teach you some of the word. We call them the mysteries. All right. They're not tricks. They're mysteries of the gospel. Hallelujah. You're going to be empowered. You're going to be excited and you're going to go and you're going to be a star in this world. Hallelujah. In this city. Praise the Lord. Now today we're going to talk on a subject called loving people you don't like. Let me read Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, you know this chapter, right? Verse 1, the love chapter, amen. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love. Okay, I want you to underline this phrase, I have not love. It says, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, notice this. Wow, this is a person of faith. All faith, so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love. I am nothing. I want to show you something. Notice that it doesn't say, I don't have any love. Notice it doesn't say, I have no love. What does it say? I have not love. I have not. I haven't done something. So notice Bible says that it's not the problem that you don't have any love. It's that you have loved not. Amen. Bible doesn't say that some people have more love, some people don't have any love. That's not what it says. It says, I just choose not to love. If you are a believer, Bible says the love of God has been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. Let me take a bucket. Let's say this is the love of God. when you receive Jesus, it has been poured out on you. Hallelujah. But Bible says that it's not the problem that we don't have love. It was we choose not to love. And Bible says we can speak with the prophecies. We can sing. We can even give our body to be burned. Imagine that. You gave your body to be burned for somebody, but if you didn't love them, it was worthless. That's why I said works without faith is what? Selfishness or fulfillment of self. So if you do something without love and faith, how does faith work? Car works by what? For a car to work, what do you need? Gas. You need to put gas, right? Faith works by love. Say love. So if you have all the faith, but you don't have love, your faith is like a big truck, semi-truck, but it's out of gas. Love is the power that makes faith move. So faith works by love. So you can do all these things, but if you have not love, Bible says you're just empty symbol. So I can do great things for people. I can help, you know, the AIDS victims. I can help many children in South America or China. But if I don't love it, I'm doing it for another reason. And usually, what do you think the reason is? Selfishness. I want to be known. Look how much money that person gives. He must love children. But if I don't love, it profits me nothing, Bible says. So today we're going to talk about the most basic things of love. Loving people you don't like. That's the first topic. We're going to talk a lot about that. There are some people in our life that are hard to love. Amen? Do you have those people? Yes, you probably do. Usually we have people in our life who get on our nerves, who just tick us off. Some of them, we don't even know why we don't like them. We just don't like them. They just make us mad. I don't know why I don't like you. I just don't like you. And that's the worst. Amen? So they push our buttons, they make us cringe, they make, you know, I just don't like that person. And maybe there's nothing wrong with them, or maybe there is something wrong with them. But everybody here has people in their life that they don't like. Of course, we all have people in our life who we just love. And they're that easy. And if you have a person in your life that it's natural for you to love them, listen to me, those are your friends. You don't want a friend who it's hard for you to love. So people who are naturally, who are easy to love for you, you just connect with them. That's the friends. Now, question, why is it so hard to love people? All right? Number one, loving people is a practice that starts at home. This is a huge one. Loving people is a practice that starts at home. All right, in Exodus 20:12, you know the fourth commandment or fifth? Honor your father and mother. Amen. Then you will live a long life, full life, and that the Lord your God will give you. Notice something. That Bible tells us to honor one another. So the first practice of love happens in our families. We learn to love, cherish, respect, to be kind to one another in our families. Before you loved anybody else, before my kids probably loved anybody else, they loved the parents. So we teach our kids as parents how to love. We learn how to love, respect, honor in our families. Some people, though, have developed in a really, they grew up in a really tough families, unloving families. Or at least families where they didn't show love. And obviously, we've seen how mean those people could be. How they don't like anybody but just their little group, and they're so protective and they got issues. Amen? They got issues. And those are people that, I mean, sometimes it will not change. It will be like that forever. And even though they know God, but God wants to set some people free. All right? And we're going to get to it. Now, if you search in your life, you will find that there are certain types of people you grew up not liking. If you search your life, you'll know there's certain types of people you grew up not liking. Not because you didn't like them. Maybe you were raised in a family where your father or mother just couldn't stand some people. Guess what's going to happen to you? You will not like some people. I know it in my life. You know it in your life. Now maybe let me give you some example. Maybe you've heard constantly in your house, who do they think they are, those neighbors? Do they think they're better than us? Does she think she's better than us? Does she think their kids are better than us? Well, we are the best. And so you heard this kind of a relationship. So when you grow up, obviously what's going to happen? You are going to not like certain types of people. And every time you see those types of people, you're just not going to like them. I remember one woman told me that her mother didn't like her aunt. And she grew up hating her aunt. And then when she grew up and got to know the aunt, she's like, my aunt is so cool. My mom just didn't like her. Amen. So love it. Why is it so hard to love people? That's the question. Because a lot of times we grew up in a family that didn't love certain people. Now let me give you more example. Maybe your family didn't like certain groups of people. Let's say this. Maybe you were poor and you hated rich people. You would say all the rich people are thieves. You know, they use us and then they shouldn't have that much money. They should be giving the money away. And so you grow up, you hate rich people. Every time you see a rich people, you go, you lock up. You get intimidated. You're going to be happy for a rich person. How are you going to become rich if you hate rich people? You're giving tithe and you're saying, Lord, I want to be rich. But then you hate the rich people. Maybe you should learn something. Hallelujah. Or maybe you grew up in a family that hated poor people. Not so much hated, dislike poor people. Maybe they said, you know, they're those trailer trash. Those lazy welfare people, you know. We have to pay our taxes so they could have all the money, you know. Maybe you grew up in that kind of a family. And so every time you see poor people, you don't like them. And then you become a Christian and you know you're supposed to win people. And most people we will win will be poor people first. Because then God wants to make poor people rich. He became poor for us so we can become rich. Bible says that. And Bible says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to go preach the gospel to who first? To the poor. So number one ministry field of anybody here is the poor. And maybe you grew up in kind of a good intellectual, you know, financially stable family. You don't like the poor people. You know, they're too lazy or something, whatever you've heard in your family. So when you look at, it's hard for you to love certain people. Amen. Maybe you grew up in a family or in a culture even that didn't like redheads. I know I grew up in a culture and I had red hair. I know right now it's kind of, I'm so happy, it became blonde. I still have that stereotype though. Because people would call me red hair and that was like you were like some weirdo, like disabled or something, you know? And I'm like, what's up with that? It was true. Hey, be nice to redhead people, okay? All right, let's keep going. Maybe you were raised even in a Christian family and your family didn't like certain sins. So, you know, they're like every one of us grew up in a family that didn't like certain sins. Amen. And so what happens is you hate not just the sin, but you hate the sinner. You just hate certain people. You're just like, hey, those people, you know, look at them. You know, look at what they do. And how are you supposed to reach them? Well, notice Jesus didn't hate or despise the adulterous woman. I mean, she was so close washing his, you know, legs. I mean, what are you doing? No, it's not about that. But if she came to you and started, you know, picking up your dress and washing your feet and then wiping it with her hair, I mean, that would be creepy. So obviously Jesus wasn't worried about it. Hey, she was a prostitute. He was okay with her washing his feet. Jesus, I shouldn't touch these things. Hallelujah. Maybe you grew up in a family who hates or dislike foreigners. You know, those illegals. Hey, that's a reality. Every country has it. Our country, you know, we had a lot of Chinese in our country, you know. And they were like salespeople. They would sell stuff and business people. And we're like, hey, they're taking all our jobs and you know. They work hard, you know. Hallelujah. And maybe you're like, these illegals crossing the border. And they get, you know, free college and blah, 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 Medicare, and they don't have to pay any taxes. And you know what? The other day I was driving and I went on yellow. I mean, I went on yellow, everybody. And they pulled me over. And there's illegals they're not doing anything about, you know. You know how we are. And you just grew up not liking legals or illegals. You know, you just don't like anybody who's, you know, foreign. Maybe you grew up in a family who was prejudiced. Or who were racist. Guess what's going to happen? Why is it hard to love certain people? First of all, we got to start where we started. We got to start from our families. We got to see what our families didn't like. Why don't we like certain people? It's maybe not because they did something to us, but because maybe it's just our families were like that. A lot of, if you know what's happening in Palestine right now, and in Jerusalem, those people have been hating each other for thousands of years. And right now, Palestinians are teaching their kids from like 5 years old to hold a gun and kill a Jew. And Jews are teaching their children to protect and always be on guard and always be, you know. You got to look back to our families. If it's hard to love somebody, let's look back. Why don't I like that person? Maybe your family dislikes business people. I've seen that many times already. And we, of course, we know the root of it, but we're just not going to. Maybe, and this is something interesting. Have anybody heard a term called xenophobia? Xenophobia, let me give you the description of it. Fear and hatred of strange or foreigners. Strangers or foreigners. It's like this. White people are afraid of black people. Naturally, somewhere deep on the inside. That's why you have white churches and you have black churches. Amen? Because somewhere inside, thank God God has put us in such a place. But it did take a lot of, taking out a lot of that xenophobia out of us. We got to agree. Everybody has that. Chinese people are afraid of Latin Americans, or, you know, Native Americans afraid of, you know, white Europeans. There's this xenophobia thing. Russians are afraid of Germans. Germans are afraid of Russians because of World War II. So there is such a thing. Person might not do anything to you. They never hurt you. But because they're different, they could be same color as you, but because they're a little bit different, we have that fear. Xenophobia, it's called. Fear of the of foreign something, something foreign. So maybe you grew up with that, and maybe you kind of distance. You're so distanced. Hallelujah. So your family background and history has much to do with how you love certain people. And notice that we are in the body of Christ now. It shouldn't be in a body of Christ like it is in the world. But guess what? It's still happening. It's happening in our church. And we got to be set free from it. Hallelujah. And today we will be set free from it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let me keep going. I got some more examples. Hallelujah. There's also, and I already mentioned this, countries thing. I grew up in a World War II, was still on the minds of many people. My grandparents, my grandpa was arrested by Germans in World War II. And he was taken imprisoned. And he was put like on a market, on a slave kind of type market. And German, rich German families would come and they would pick people and the rest they would put into concentration camps. So my grandpa said, I remember this and I just visited him. He's still alive. He's in his 80s. And what he said was, he was put on like on a stage with another guy. And another guy, he said, was like really like angry and like snappy and like showing himself. And my grandpa said, I just became so humble. I just was like, okay, I'm just going to kind of quiet. And they picked me. And he said, it was okay because I worked for somebody. At least I didn't die. He said, I never see my friend after that anymore. Because they took him into a concentration camp and that's where he died. So obviously, in school we learned a lot about World War II. Plus, a lot of our geography was taught by what happened where. And we would go to forests and people would still find mines. So that was a constant reminder. See, there's no mines here. So we're not reminded of that so much. But in countries where they were torn by war, so many things happened. People are walking without arms. One guy fought the whole war and he was coming back, step on a mine, had his legs amputated. Many stories like that. So obviously, guess what? There's kind of a dislike between certain people. Would you agree? Between nations, there's dislike. So a lot of things why it's hard for us to love people is because what background we came from. And God wants to heal us from those backgrounds. He wants to set us free so we can love, so we can reach out to anybody. Notice the Christian cannot say, I'm going to be the way I am and I'm not going to change. What you see is what you get. If you don't like this gospel of mine, amen, I don't care about you. notice what Paul said. Paul said, I became everything to all to all. Meaning, I became for a Jew, I became a Jew. For a Gentile, I became a Gentile, like a Gentile. I don't think Paul enjoyed eating a pig. He has been brainwashed that pig is unclean. I know some things my mom taught me. And now I recognize it was religion. But it still bothers me. It still triggers something on the inside. So we got to know that God wants to set us free. He wants us to love and not be tormented by that person. Every time you see him, you just feel bad. Every time you see them, they make your blood pressure rise. Every time you see them, you just ruined my day. That's it. My day is ruined. That's it. I ain't going to work even anymore. Ruined. You ruined my day. See, God wants to set us free from that. But see how important how we were loved. Now to parents, we must take a note here. We must take a note that how we teach our kids. Who do we tell them not to love or not to like? What classes of people do we dislike and we teach them to dislike? Amen. What countries don't you like? What race don't you like? We got to be set free. Holy Spirit is speaking right now. When I was preparing, he was saying this. I kind of stumbled on this. I was just preparing for a message about love, and God led me this way. And God says, because the church needs it. We got to remove all the prejudice levels in here. In order for us to grow, we cannot be two trees growing. It's unhealthy when two trees are growing. Two healthy trees, when they're growing together, the bigger they get, guess what happens? The farther they push each other apart. We got to become one. A tree that is planted, one tree by the rivers. Hallelujah. If you're Native American, you must allow yourself, bring yourself before the Lord and forgive. I'm just going to say it. Is that okay? Black people got to forgive the white people. White people must remove that xenophobia towards black people and forgive, because it must be. We must reach that racial unity. Because in the body of Christ, there is no race. It's one. It's a kingdom people. We are so mature a lot. But when it comes to another race, we just, those people. Those type people. We got to remove that. That can't be around us. And I'm so glad the children are now working together in both churches. They're learning Jesus freak. Hallelujah. We got to come and become one. Hallelujah. So much pain can be avoided. So much pain and hurt can be avoided if we would walk in a character of love and not hate. Now, hate is good. And sometimes I already have a message on hate. A good hate. Something we should hate. Hallelujah. So much pain. There's a story in the Old Testament, and I'm going to go quick, of Jonathan and David. Jonathan was a prince, son of King Saul. He was the next to the throne. He was a really man of character. But his father hated David. He was threatened by him. So usually we don't like somebody because we feel like they threaten us. Or we fear them. Or they're in competition with us. It's hard for us to love them. But I'm just so surprised with this heart of Jonathan. Jonathan knew that David was going to take his throne. That's a reason not to like a person. If I own a business, if my father owns a business and it should be my business and there's some dude wants to take that, I'm not going to like him. But look at the heart of Jonathan, and I'm just wondering, why is his heart like that? His father wants to kill David, and Jonathan is protecting David, hiding him, telling him when father is going to do what. 1 Samuel 20, I'm just going to read that to you. 1 Samuel 20, 16. It says this, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Now Jonathan, again, caused David to wow because he loved him. Notice this phrase, he loved him. Why did Jonathan was able? Because he loved him. Here this guy tries to take your position. How many of us ever feared of our position? Yeah, it's true. Guess what happens? We don't like that person. Anybody who threatens us a little bit, we don't like them. But when you love somebody, hallelujah. Verse 17. Now Jonathan again caused David to bow because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. When I read this story, I cried yesterday. When I got the revelation, and I don't have the time to go into this, Jonathan loved David, and although he knew David was going to take his place. What a man. If it wasn't for his father, King Saul, he would have been an amazing king. Parents play a big role in kids' life. Because of his father, Jonathan lost the kingship, and Jonathan accepted it. But yet he wasn't like his father. He didn't receive the spirit of hate and jealousy and envy for David. He said, I know you're going to be king. Now let's make a covenant, and I'm going to protect you. Hallelujah. You see what love does? That's the true love. Oh, it's hard to be like that. I'm just going to give you a little illustration. Vadim and Earl, would you please turn off the lights? Fear is darkness. Love is light. Okay, we still got lights here, but you see, darkness filled this room. Now, that's what fear is. Fear is darkness. Now turn on the lights again. Sorry. Bible says, where did darkness go? It was cast out. A lot of phobias, and we have so many phobias right now. Perfect love, Bible says, cast out. Guess what? Why? How? Because God is love. He who loves have been removed from death into life, Bible says. He who doesn't love is living in death. So this is what happening in your heart. When you don't love somebody, it becomes dark. And Bible says there's torment in fear. So fear torments people. But as soon as love comes in, it's like light. God is light. God is love. Bible says perfect love casts out. So a lot of times you come and you say, I need deliverance. I need God to set me free. Please pray for me. Lay your hands on me. I got this phobia, I got this fear, I got this and that, and I'm afraid of the dark, and I'm afraid of the elevators, and I'm afraid of anything, everything. Well, the Bible says you need to be filled with light, with perfect love. And guess what? You don't need to have demons cast out of you. You need to just love. We need to just love, and the darkness has to flee. Devil is not going to be in the light. The darkness cannot be where the light is. Oh, there's so many benefits of love. And God wants to fill us with love. So this church will be known by its love. Real love. And that's why we have to go into those in the back and see where maybe we don't dislike people because of our family. Hallelujah. Now maybe Holy Spirit has been working on you right now. As I was speaking, you saw somewhere in your life your mother hating somebody, and so you started hating them. Maybe your culture hates somebody, because we are multicultural here. And you hate them. It cannot be. Because as long as you don't like people, they are always going to appear in your life. Have you noticed that? As soon as you start, just don't like a person, and they're going to appear in your life and always bother you. And you're always going to lose your peace. But God wants to set His body free. Hallelujah. God wants to set us free. I want you to put on your mind, maybe one or two right now. Right on your mind, right now. Put it to the front of your mind, of your thinking. Put those things that maybe certain people you don't like. Maybe you don't like Ukrainians. Put it on your mind and say, God, set me free. Maybe you got a xenophobia to Americans, or whites towards black, or Native Americans towards white, or whatever it is. We all have it. And we need Christ to set us free. We need Him to fill those places with love. And we need to make a choice, because if I have not love, if I choose not to love, then I'm empty. Then darkness lives in me. Then I abide in death, people. When you don't love, you abide in death. And that's why so much pain. That's why so emotional up and downs. God wants to set us free. He wants us to love one another. That's the only way we're going to reach. Imagine yourself being Jesus, and everybody else in this world was your brothers. How would you treat them? Would you compete with them? Would you be jealous of them? If you're Jesus, imagine you're Jesus. Would you dislike them? Or if you're Jesus, you died for everybody. If I was Jesus, right? There's no way I would compete with you. There's no way I was going to be jealous with you. I'd be happy if my people, if my people are prospering. You know how happy I am that the church is beginning to prosper? When the businesses are opening and they're, and I'm prospering for one person, and I prosper, and I'm happy that they prosper, and I'm happy that the other person is prospering. That's the heart of the Father. Guys, we are Jesus upon the earth. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. No longer we live, but Jesus, you need to feel like Jesus. When jealousy comes, you say, what? Jesus wasn't jealous. I can't be jealous. I'm Jesus. I can't build walls because somebody hurt me before. I'm going to love people. I'm going to try to be friends with people who I feel xenophobic towards. I'm going to try to. I'm going to reach out across the aisle.